All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight here on the Spotlight on Fightful. I am Steven Jensen, joined as always by Jeremy Lambert. And our guest today is a returning guest. He is the new GCW World Tag Team Champion, along with Cole Radrick as the Garbage Dad. He's got Alec Price in the house. Alec, how you doing, man?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. You know what I'm saying? What could I not be feeling? I got the GCW Tag Team Championship, one half of it around my waist. Well, actually around my chest right now, because you know me, I like to wear like a fanny pack. Other than that, I'm feeling good. I'm getting ready. We got the J Cup this weekend. Oh, it's my third time in the J Cup, and I'm ready to go in there. I'm gonna be in there like swimwear. You don't even understand. I'm taking that championship. I'm walking home with the tournament.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to start there. We're going to talk definitely about your GCW tag title win with our good buddy, Cole Radrick.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
You're Bruce. Good. You're a good buddy. Don't put that on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. me and Cole are good. Jeremy and Cole have beef. But,
He wants to put me through a table, Alec. He wants to put me through a table. So,
well, I'm sorry, but if Blue wants to, I gotta go with Blue. You know what I'm saying?
I respect that.
I won't get involved because I like you, but like I can't also stop him because you know what I'm saying?
I respect it. I respect it. You gotta have his back. I understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm gonna take the side of Alec and Cole. I don't want any of that smoke.
Thanks, Jensen. So, thanks.
Well, let's start with the J Cup. That is this weekend. I am very much looking forward to the tournament this year. Last year, the person that I chose to win the tournament was eliminated pretty much immediately. I chose Griffin McCoy, and he did not have a good showing. The reason that I am bringing this up is because I'm not just saying this. This is actually a big reason why I wanted to have you on the show this week. You are my pick to win the tournament, Alec.
Fuck yeah.
So I'm hoping to get the job done. I saw the opening round is you and Cole Radrick.
Yeah.
So please let us know how you're feeling heading into the opening round of the J Cup against the other half of the Garbage Daddies, your boy, Cole Radrick.
It's hard because, you know, me and Blue have been on the road for the past year and a half, ever since Blue came back from his injury. Like before his injury, we were kind of like building up some steam, finding ourselves as a tag team, and then like, stuff happens in professional wrestling. So now that he's back, me and him have been really kind of obviously on a roll. We got the tag championships. You know what I'm saying? We were starting to like me and him have a chemistry as a team that I feel like is unique and like hasn't been seen in wrestling for a while. And I feel like me and Blue could take this everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like we could be on TV one day as the Garbage Daddies. So it's honestly hard because like I that's my brother and like I've been on the road with him for the past, you know, like I said, year and a half. And we've been through thick and thin in freaking crazy situations and good situations. We've had stressful matches together. We've had bad matches together. We've had great matches together. There's been a lot of things that have happened in a short time. And like I would fight somebody for Blue. Like I would go to war for Blue, but sometimes brothers of war have to go to war. And at the end of the day, like I love Blue, but he's gonna be expecting a fight. You know what I'm saying? He's not gonna be wanting me to go in there and act like Hulk Hogan and Nash where he's just, you know, laying down like, come on, Blue, pin me. Pin me, Blue. It's like, no, fuck. No. We going right into it. He wants a fight. I know I'm gonna have to bring a fight and he's gonna be bringing a fight. So let's go. Like I want the J Cup. It's been 3 years. 3 years I've been in the J Cup. The first year I got knocked out, I think the first round, right? Second year, I got knocked out the second round. I was close. Yes. Now it's finally time for me. And who else is on that card that's less deserving than me? You know what I'm saying? I love Blue, but Blue's got the brass ring.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not only does he got the brass ring, but it's my time. And honestly, Blue, I love you, but JCW has been a different animal, and we don't tag in JCW. And that's the workhorse belt. I want to prove that I am the workhorse of JCW. Not just J, but G2.
Yeah. Dude, I love hearing this because I brought this scenario up to Cole prior to Hammerstein. I said, we could one day live in a world where the Garbage Daddies are the GCW Tag Team Champions, and Alec Price is holding the JCW World title. Cole Rogers is holding the GCW World title because he got the brass ring. I mean, you guys could take over both companies as the Garbage Daddies.
I mean, it's happening. We're the biggest babyface tag team there is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have the people behind us right now. So now me and Cole are very, like, we're trying to figure out how to keep the momentum going. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the tag belts, but just because we got the tag belts don't mean we don't have to defend them. That's why we've been defending them every show. We've been putting on banger after banger after banger because we want to prove that we have these belts for a reason and we beat Violence Forever for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you mentioned Hall and Nash and somebody laying down. No finger poke of doom situation, but I did pitch to Cole a double pin to where you both advance. So is that a possibility here? Hear me out, Alex. So it's a double pin.
Work like tournament rules.
Well, we can break the rules here. So it's a double pin. And you both move on. So the next match is a triple threat match. But then you double pin there as well. You just double pin the opponent.
You keep double pin to get to the finals.
And then in the finals, you face each other. In the finals, this is my pitch.
I kind of like it, honestly. I don't think it's I don't think it's a bad. May have to talk to Blue on that one. You know, I think GCW is probably going to figure out that we're going to do that right now because obviously we're talking on the internet. And
I said it on air.
But, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
He gave the same similar answer to you of like, we're going to put it aside, the friendship aside. It's still going to be friends afterwards, still friends before. We're going to go out there and we're going to battle it out and we're going to see who the best man is.
It's not even about, you know, like when me and Cole are tagging, it's not about who's the best man. You know what I'm saying? Because we know that we have strengths in areas that the others don't. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like we know where we're at in the tag team. Cole's got a lot more character, so he's helping me bring out more of my character too. And like I like to put in together crazy moves and sequences, and Cole has crazy moves. But like I'm being like, yo, what if we do this? Like I'm building the moves and like he's building the everything. Like it's a nice little mixture. And like it's never really about being who's the better man. This isn't about who's the better man. This is about the JCW World Championship. This is about the JCW J Cup 2025 tournament. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, before me and Blue got together and started doing Garbage Daddy, before we won the GCW tag belts, I was worried about that. And that's been my day one, A1. Like that's been my goal since JCW and GCW started. So it's gonna be my year.
You mentioned obviously you have a very innovative move set, and you were like, you and Cole complement each other in those ways. Cole, like you said, kind of with helping with some character work, you helping with maybe some innovation. Who came up with the garbage disposal and how did y'all come up with that?
It's crazy because I feel like we both came up with it at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is we were happening. Like if you watch our earlier matches, we didn't have a set finish. You know what I'm saying? Like we were just teasing out like, all right, these moves that we feel like could be effective in a wrestling match with us, especially like how I have speed and he can toss around, but he also has speed and agility too. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Just like trying to figure out the chemistry and being able to bounce off each other, which is what true tag team wrestlers like savants really do. Like look at Motor City Machine Guns. But I think it was LA the first time we ever did it. I think it was me, Cole, and Cartwheel versus Thrussy at the time, before Allie and Effie had their issues and stuff like that. But I think we hit it on Sheik, but it was just he wanted to do the backdrop powerbomb. I still like the sequence where it's the freaking stunner, Macross Lariat, dive, Swanee. So it was like, all right, how could we, like, it was just like something where he's like, what if I get him in like. You hit, I get him in a powerbomb and you blockbuster. I'm like, all right, like, that's cool. I'm like, what about, he's like, what if I get him in like an electric chair? And I'm like, what if I double stomp? And he's like, He's like, all right, we need a name. And then Emil like was there and Emil actually helped us out. He was like, he was like, I don't know. It needs to have garbage in the name. I'm like, all right, what do you think? Like, he was like, Cole's like, let's call it the trash compactor. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. I mean, what about the garbage disposal? You know what I'm saying? And everyone was like, that's what it is. All right, and then the next time we hit it, which was that weekend, I think we went to, I think it was like Tampa or wherever we were at, or Phoenix. We hit the garbage disposal, and here's Emil right on freaking commentary. And the garbage disposal, the electric chair, that will do. I'm like, yo, this is it. This is it. It's a dope move. I don't think I've seen it before, and if someone has done it, we're just innovating it to be us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anyone else do it. And I can't remember who you guys were wrestling. You had like a larger opponent. This was like a few months back. And
was it the Stoner Bros?
Yes. And Cole did the tabletop version where like he didn't put him up on the electric chair and did the went on all fours, and y'all still hit it that way. And I thought that was really innovative too, because, you know, I was like, you know, that's a tough move for anybody, like that electric chair, like putting it's going to be hard for Cole to lift every single person on the roster up on his shoulders to set that up. And y'all still figured out a way to hit it. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, no, like that's just something that we, like, you know, just thinking on the fly and like being able to know, like, assess the situation, because me and Cole know, like, we're not the biggest people on the roster. We're both like making strides to get bigger. Cole's been in the gym eating right. I've been eating right, getting in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'm up 10 pounds. Cole's up 10 pounds. He's slim Jim, looking great. You know what I'm saying? I'm mean. You know what I'm saying? So we're working to get there, and we know that we're helping each other get there. But we just also know that we're good wrestlers on the fly, like in the situation of like, not even like on the fly, like, oh, it's just like in the situation of like, these guys are bigger than us. We're probably not going to be able to lift them like that. Like, I'm strong, but yo, he's country big. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So it was just kind of like credit on Cole, really, for being able to slip out of that and just be like he legit looked. If you look at us, he sits and he goes, "Bust up." Like, just gives me a hug. Oh, this is how we're doing it. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Now, what was it like winning the GCW World? Cole tells me I got to put world in there. So GCW World Tag Team Championships with Cole using the garbage disposal on top of that. And like that, I think that was the best match on the show. Yeah. And like the finish was absolutely bonkers, and just the entire sequence leading up to it. But what was that moment like?
It was honestly amazing. I've wrestled in a lot of like historic wrestling venues before. You know what I mean? Like, I wrestled in the Palladium in Worcester. I've gotten to wrestle at Fenway Park. You know what I mean? I wrestled at the Durham Arena in North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Like I've had the opportunity, and I've been blessed to wrestle there, but nothing was like Hammerstein. And I was there for AEW 2 weeks before, but I was doing extra work, and like, I appreciate AEW for having me. It was a great time. You know what I'm saying? Getting get the chill and catering, and then again the opportunity to actually work on a Rampage and stuff like that. That was awesome. Everyone's always good there. I never have an issue with anyone. Everyone's always cool. But I was there, and I didn't get the same feeling as when I was there for GCW. And it's because, like, I mean, I was on the card, and like, this was a big deal. Everything that me and Cole have been striving for and working for the past year was finally coming to the head. And the people that we got to face were people that we have had issues with since the start of the locker room, because they didn't like any new tag teams coming in. So for them.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
And they felt it disrespectful to their craft and who they are, that a couple of singles wrestlers think they can, they ain't doing nothing over there. They're going to come together and come in our spot and do something in our, like, they were just gatekeeping. And I know, like, me and Cole were fighting, and they used every tactic in the book to get us down. But at the end, we came up and we survived, and it was awesome. Like, the crowd throwing streamers, like, getting the fucking celebrating the crowd with my brother. It was, honestly, one of the best moments I've ever had in my career.
I love how it all played out too, because you guys started teaming around the time that VIF won the tag belts from Los Mestizos. You guys were the last tag match before Nick Wayne went off to AEW full time against East West Express. You guys had multiple opportunities at VIF for the titles, and the last time, especially before Hammerstein got screwed, y'all had the visual pin on them, had them dead to rights, and you still got that rematch and then got the job done to Hammerstein. And then not just that, you finish your story at Hammerstein, win the tag team titles, and then, as you mentioned, there's a lot of people involved with this, Effie included. What was it like seeing Effie finally defeat Mance Warner and you guys end the show in the ring with him all celebrating together?
I mean, it was awesome. It's Effie, and like, Effie's my brother, and you know, it's, you know, I know Effie gets a lot of people mad, but Effie really is just an innovator and a trailblazer, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate having him on the road, because he's always the type of person to take care of the younger generation and like just the younger people. Like when I first got into the locker room, he was always looking out for me. Same with Mance before Mance became who Mance was, and he really showed his true colors. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could look at these people as actual locker room leader. Even Janela is a locker room leader. So it was just great to see Effie finally get what he deserved, and that was the GCW World Championship. Like, he went through hell. He was on a level up here, and he was forced to go all the way down here just to freaking get all the way back up here. You know what I'm saying? And if you look at him, he's in great shape. He's in the best shape that Effie's ever been in. He's producing some of the best matches Effie's ever produced. You know what I'm saying? So, like, hats off to him. He's really done it. Like, and he deserves it because he's put in the work for it. Like, you got to think, there's like a trail of blood coming with the GCW World Championship. There's a certain ounce of pedigree that it takes to have that. And you have to push yourself to the limits and past the limits you thought you'd even have to even qualify in the fans' eyes to be worthy of that belt. You know what I'm saying? It's been proven with the past champions. So it's not like it's no knocks. Look at like, and everyone who has had that belt. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the pedigree that comes with it is insane. So like, good on, like, it's good on Effie. That just proves the level he's actually on.
Jeremy, you're muted.
Sorry about that. My cat was calling at the door, and so I had to mute, so because my wife was letting the cat out.
My cat's been doing the same thing all day, but she's in heat, so she's been meow, meow, meow. I'm like, oh no, all right, enough.
My fault on that. So you're talking about Effie and seeing him get his moment. What was just going, kind of sticking on Hammerstein for a little bit, that kind of lull between the show, the unfortunate injury to Alley Catch, and trying to have to rebuild the crowd off of that. Like, what's going on backstage when everything is going down with that?
It's kind of chaos because we can't do anything until the ambulance is there. And then, like, Brett's trying to figure out how to keep the show together without, like, it getting stopped, because that was a possibility. If the commission wanted to stop the show at any time, they could have stopped the show. Like, they could have stopped the show for that injury. They were choosing not to, just off the blessings of, like, how many people were actually at Hammerstein. It's really sad to see Allie get hurt in a spot like that. I feel like Allie was actually, Allie's been, like, in a better mood. I feel like she's been like just gaining more respect with wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Like with wrestling and like the way she wrestles, and she actually was doing stuff to progress, and like it's something that comes with the business, but it's something that's not easy, you know, knock on wood. But it's like, I hope she gets better. I hope for a speedy recovery, and I hope to see Allie Catch in the ring one day. But like, it's chaos. Brett's freaking freaking out. We don't know what's going on. They've already sent out the other wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? So now he's trying to figure out, how do I keep them out there without, and then Kerry Von Erich, you know what I'm saying, in the day, getting on the promo, giving the mouth that God gave him, giving the mouth that he was blessed from his daddy. You know what I'm saying? Cutting the work, cutting the promos on the mic. But he did a good job, and then they were able to have that match, and then Brett's coming to us because he wanted, like, we were like a match after, like, where we were at, we were like the next match after that. So he was like, can you guys, like, he legit went up to Cole and was like, I'm sending you now, is that cool? And me and Cole were like, we're ready for this shit, let's go, Busta. And, like, sometimes, honestly, that's, like, it shit happens, and you gotta be ready. You gotta be professional. And, like, Brett's a good boss, and he takes care of us, so why would I not be up my utmost, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would I not be ready to produce the best work I possibly can, even if it's on short notice? It's not his fault that shit's going on. So, like, we went, all right, let's go, hit the music. And Brett put us out, and then we had the banger. But, like, the crowd was dead, but obviously, like, stuff happens with the injury, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really stop the momentum of the show is going up, and then you got a straight freaking halt of, like, everything. So obviously it went down, but at the end they seen us win the tag belts, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that was a tough spot for that. Like, it was like a 4-on-4 match or something like that that was happening right before
it was, yeah, it wasn't, anyone in that position would have been in a tough spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's not easy, but, like, that's something that happens in professional wrestling that people don't like to talk about, that, like, this is actually told, like, take taxing on our bodies. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes shit don't go the way we want it, but it's a fight. And yeah, what are you going to do? But I'm sorry for Alley Catch. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We all wish Alley Catch a speedy recovery. Absolutely. That was terrible that happened. And yeah, credit to, you know, the people that went out there and just had to stall, like Harry Morton, like you mentioned. They were out there talking for like 20 minutes. And it's weird because, like, the New York State Athletic Commission is like the only commission that operates like that with pro wrestling, where, like, that's really, like, the only situation you'd really be in where you have to stall like that. It was just such a weird thing to happen. But then you guys actually do go out there. You guys win the tag titles. I want your thoughts on VIF as a tag team, Dominic Green and Kevin Koo.
I got beef with them because they wanted to start beef with us. Like, do I think they're a successful tag team? Their track record proves it. Do I think they've been killing it on the indies for years? Their track record proves it. I have no, there's nothing I can go against VIF other than their character and how they choose to present themselves in the locker room. The fact that they think they're better than every other tag team and everybody else. The fact that they think they deserve, like, LA is their rematch. Yeah, you have rematch clause. That's cool. The ending's going to be the same. We're not going to you're not rewriting history. You know what I'm saying? Like, and at the end of the day, like, you guys are pieces of shit to people. And, like, you were doing everything in your power to prolong your title reign. But, like, you met the wrong ones. And we'd be smoking on that VIP pack. You know what I'm saying?
What was it like immediately taking the titles over to England? And I don't know if you know this, but during VAF's reign, they traveled to Canada once, but otherwise it was all in America. Like, 400 days, it was nothing but title defenses in America. Your first title defense overseas in England. Like, what was that like?
It was insane because it's the electric ballroom. Like, I've seen, like, Progress and everyone, Red Pro and everyone run out of there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the spot that, like, us Americans know in England. So, like, I mean, it was amazing. No one timed that. We couldn't time that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went into Hammerstein being like, this may be it. This may not be it. We ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to throw it all out there. And we were able to, so, like, we weren't looking forward to England yet because we didn't know if it was actually going to be, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have the belts yet. We didn't even win the belts. We had to still fight the match. But it was amazing. Like, the crowd was amazing. Sold out crowd. They had chance for us. Lycos Gym is a nasty tag team. And honestly, I think they should be booked in America more. I don't know why they're not booked in America. They got visas. So if anyone wants to hit them up, like, hit up Lycos Gym to come over here for a tour. They're really good. And I like to face them again for the tag team straps. But it was awesome. And, like, I don't understand why everything's so small over there. I know they got the metric system. But I was, like, looking at stuff, and I'm like, dude, people aren't this small anymore. And then I think it was, like, Leon's, like Darice or someone was like, dude, the baths are big over there. Someone was like, we were talking about, like, the tubs. and how like the showers are huge in America. I was like, you know what's crazy, bro? Is the showers are big, but there's some people that don't even fit in those showers. I don't fit in this shower. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's not a knock on anybody. It's just like I was not expecting how small everything is. Like it's like what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like it's crazy. But I loved it over there, and I would love to do another tour. Like it was awesome. The food was great. The people were awesome. They were welcoming. They loved us. Paris was crazy. Like when we were at VZW versus GCW in Paris, that was crazy. It was 800 people up in there. They were cool. They were cool as shit. I like them. The French are awesome. The English were awesome. I want to do a tour next year and probably get maybe like a month or two. And I want to just tour around Europe and then end up in Portugal somewhere where like I have family I've never met over there. And apparently they got a little shack. So I want to see the little Gregorio shack. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, humble my roots, get some wrestling gigs. I don't know. Come back and change and different wrestler.
I know you're buddies with Bobby Flacco. He does a lot of traveling. What other places are you looking forward to, or you might have like on your list of places you want to travel and or wrestle that you haven't been?
Well, basically everywhere in Europe, because they all have good scenes over there. I would like to go to Mexico. I've never been to Mexico. I would like to go to South America, like maybe Colombia. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like any, just travel me anywhere. I want to go everywhere. Like the first international tour kind of like woke me up a little bit. I've never been outside of the comfort zone of what the U.S. is. And the minute that I'm outside of them, I'm like, holy shit, y'all got different wall plugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It was a culture shock, and it was a good culture shock. And I feel like, honestly, like, I had bad insomnia. So when I was over there, I was actually on normal time. It was kind of crazy. Like, I would wake up, I'd be up all night over here because I had bad insomnia. Be over there, I'm up all day and sleeping. So then when I was on my way back, I had two Sundays because I left Iceland. Like, I left England at, like, 1 o'clock, got to Iceland at, like, 7 o'clock, right? And then from Iceland, or no, it was, like, 5 o'clock, boarded. Then it was a two-hour delay. And then the two-hour delay turned to 7:30. We dipped out. I got into Boston at 7:30. So I had 2 days. So then I woke up the next – I legit drove home, passed out, woke up, and went, I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning? Holy shit, I'm going to go eat some breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I'm on regular time. I've been eating. I've been feeling good. So I'm ready. That tour really helped me out.
Well, that's wild. It resets you to, like,
the correct
schedule.
Yeah, reset that schedule. You know what I'm saying? That little internal clock. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's funny. I got a random question for you, Alec. It's wrestling related, but it's going to be random. Are you still technically the Sub-Bonestorm champion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have a soft spot in my heart. Southern Underground Pro is my favorite independent promotion ever. And I feel it's unfortunate as an Alec Price fan that you won that title as the company, like, it hasn't been around for pretty much since. But yeah, I didn't know if I'm holding out hope that it's gonna return one day. But I just didn't know if you were still technically the Bonestorm champion. Do you still have the destroyed title belt anywhere?
Yeah, I still got the plate here.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay.
I still got the plate here. Let me see if I can find that.
Oh, let me see it. Was the plan for you to destroy that thing and then like reissue a new title eventually? Was there any plans?
I used to be a tag team champion somewhere. I'm still the tag team champion for that place. It's like Nova and like Rhode Island. That was like years ago. Where is this fucking belt? Dude, I feel like it's not like a good thing, but it kind of sucked that these places like dipped out. Like they, I don't know, like we get the belts and then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, we're just not a company anymore, guys.
You killed the territory. You killed the territory, Alex.
Oh, right here. Oh, yeah, that's why I happened in Tennessee, bro. I killed the territory. You know what I'm saying? I was old Vinnie Mac back in the day before he did what he did, piece of shit. But anyways, look at this. Oh. No, I'm just fucking around. I don't have no say in that. But look at this. Bang.
I love it. I love it. Nostalgia.
Gangsta.
So if you don't know the lore here, Jeremy, Alec like literally destroyed the title belt, like beat the shit out of the belt, and I guess he has kept the main plate. Did you keep any of the other pieces of the title belt?
No, I just kept the main plate because the other ones like smashed or like broke off. It was like white leather, you know what I'm saying? So like it was just kind of like, I just wanted this, honestly.
Yeah.
I think I like flew home and I was like, what? Why do I even have these side plates? I only need really front plates.
Well, hopefully Subgraps comes back one day. Every time we talk to Kevin Koo, we ask him if he's ever going to return, and there's always a little hope there, but nothing concrete in a while. So
I hope he comes. I hope it comes back. Why not? Like I have this belt for a reason. I won it one day. I think I defended it once down there, maybe twice down there, and then I destroyed it. Like, what type of championship run is that? How dare I? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Q has told us that essentially Live Nation got involved with the venue, the Basement East, and then they stopped letting them run shows, basically. And then they like couldn't find the right venue, and then more time kept passing. VIF kept getting booked. And then, well, but you bounced back like immediately though, because not long after you were the IWTV World Champion. So,
yeah, no, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was like, damn, like I was starting to get interested. My first time at the Basement East was amazing because they used to pack out those spots. And like I used to watch stuff back in the day on IWTV. I mean, IWTV used to have everything that was popping. And I mean, it still does, but still, it's one of those things where it's like, fuck, I just wanted to be there a lot more. Like, I just got there. You know what I'm saying? Like, could I have been here there for like a year and that happened?
Yeah. I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you. As a fan of yours and a fan of Sup, the timing was terrible because I wanted to see you have a run with that title. But like I said, you did wind up winning the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Championship not long after that. Mm-hmm. What was that reign like? Because that was a wild time for the title because, like, Cruel was the champion. Never technically lost. Matt Tremont, Killdozer, whatever you want to call him, wins the championship. You beat him for that title, and then you and Cruel have a match, which I thought was incredible, the match that you got. I was convinced Cruel was never going to lose the title after that match, too, because you hit him with absolutely everything. And
he's a monster.
Yeah. What was that title reign like, you know, representing IWTV as their world champion and your feud with Tremont and Cruel along the way?
I mean, I feel like I had the best reign that I possibly could with that belt. I mean, I feel like I could have done more. Like, but it was a tough spot for me, honestly. And it wasn't like it was meant to be. Like, I just feel like I was the right person at the time when I won that. You know what I'm saying? And it was amazing because, like, that was everything I had worked for in that belt. Like, the names that have won that belt, the people that I held that, it was basically a ticket to get signed, just like the Limitless belt was back in the day. And it wasn't like I looked at it as a ticket to get signed, but that was like at least someone knowing, like, all right, if say like AEW sent someone down, like you know what I mean? Like it was like, okay, this guy's good enough to not hurt our people. And he's not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, or like if WWE was working with somebody, like, okay, this kid's a prospect. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like it was something that just meant something. And, I had a fun time with it. I defended it in Canada. I defended it everywhere that I possibly could. Anywhere that I was going, that was an IWTV product. I made it a title defense. So I had a good time. And, like, Cruel, I honestly, like, he's a piece of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a monster. But he just pops up out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? He jumps me. He beats me down before I can get there. And, I mean, I threw everything at him. I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough go that day to really close the deal, and it really sucks, but what can you do? Now I'm the GCW World Tag Team Championship. You know what I'm saying? World Tag Team Champion, one half, baby. Now I'm about to be the JCW World Championship. You know what I'm saying? J Cup 2025 Championship. So it's no big deal. I'm not really that worried. I'm not stressing over it anymore.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, as a fan, I don't think it's something that you should be like, you know, not proud of, or I know, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was I was really happy to see you get that moment because
no,
like
I was said, proud of it and I was yeah. proud of the moment, but I just feel like I was proud of everything I did with that belt. I just wanted to be more than what it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. I feel like I could have done more. Like, at that time, I just got my passport. So I was talking to IWTV about possibly, like, going to Europe and, like, defending the belt over there, because they have European promotions that haven't had the belt defended. So it's like I wanted to do more, but it just – what can you do? That it wasn't my time at the time, you know what I mean? But I feel like I had a great run and did everything that I possibly could do with that belt. I feel like I raised it up a lot more than what it was.
I got you.
Now, you did make a couple of appearances for AEW. You were on the last AEW Rampage show. And before that, you faced La Faction and Gobernable. But on the last Rampage show, you faced Private Party. What was the AEW experience like?
I mean, it was great. Like I said earlier, everyone was really nice to me. You know, you have a lot of like the vets, the coaches. Everyone's super like welcoming, and they're not assholes at all. The people like Private Party, Brian Cage, even LFI, they were all pros, you know what I mean? As far as I know, they all took care of us. And they like just gave us trust that we weren't going to beat them up. You know what I mean? We were just there to make sure that they looked great. And it was a great opportunity to be able to get to wrestle on AEW. I mean, it's one of the two biggest promotions in the world. And they're on live TV every week. It's just a great spot, honestly. I think both spots are great. I love WWE and I love AEW. I love TNA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've always loved, I've always been a TNA and a WWE fan, but AEW is awesome and the product they produce. So, like, they have some of the best wrestlers in the world there. It's just like back in the day in the 90s where every spot had the best wrestlers in the world. It's not just one spot. You know what I mean?
Do you have any thoughts on the WWE ID program? Like, from what you've seen, maybe like some of your peers that maybe have been ID'd, or maybe just some of the buzz like surrounding like the WWE is so like kind of like in tap with the indie scene at the moment.
I have no issue with it. If WWE wants to do that, I mean, they're the top dogs, and I'm really happy for everyone that's gone and signed off of that. Like Brad Baylor, Ricky Smokes, Aaron Rourke, Sam Holloway, Marcus Mathers, Zeta Steele, just some of the people that I know that have Bryce Donovan. These are all people that have worked their butts off. And honestly, without the ID program, it's not that they wouldn't have had a shot. It was a lot harder for them to have that shot and have the eyes of the WWE on them. And it's the WWE. They're you know what I'm saying? They're the top in the world. They're the best in the world. They are the tastemakers. They've been the tastemakers. And I honestly think it's a great way for us people on the indies that may take a couple years for us to get a tryout, or four or five years to get on an extra spot that they're like, hey, we want this type of match. I don't know, like, it just quickens it. And I feel like it's not like a bad thing that people are ID'd. I feel like it's a great thing for them. And like WWE is like, they're honestly like helping us out on, like, you know what I'm saying? They're taking care of us. Like, they ain't taking care of me, but the people that got signed, at least they're taking care of the people on the indies and making them stars. And, like, if you think about the way they're building up these independent wrestlers, it's going to help them not only be better wrestlers and superstars in the future, but kind of build up the quality of the indies. Because if you got people that are producing this work and it's actually good work, why would people not follow suit? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think it's been great so far. Everything that I've seen from it. I'm looking forward to WWE Evolve starting up. I think they're going to
be... Sam Holloway's my dog. He's good.
Oh, he's great. Dude, and he's only been wrestling for a few years. Like, I thought he'd been around a lot longer, and I was like, this dude's wrestling for like 2 years. Like, it's
AIW in Ohio got he comes from Sean Thorne and AIW in Ohio. He's me and Josh Bishop knew that he was gonna be like good. Cause dude, he's cool. I love Hardway. He's, you know what I'm saying? He's nasty. He kind of just gets it, and he's like not that far along in the business, and he just gets it. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Josh Bishop, I don't remember correctly. Did the two of y'all try for WWE at the same time a while back?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I could talk. It was a great tryout. It was. I think I was the first one when they first started going after athletes primarily. So like honestly, it was a blessing to be there, and thank you WWE for having me, because they had like, I think there was a criteria at the time where it was like 6 feet, 200 pounds, and I was like half the criteria. You know what I'm saying? So right. Like I was definitely the smallest person at the tryout. You know what I mean? Like when it came down to all the males and stuff and like all the dudes. But I didn't know, like me and Bishop knew each other, but we didn't really know each other. We just like seen each other in locker rooms. But I'm sitting there like I'm a little sad because I'm like, I don't know anyone. Fuck, this is gonna be tough as shit. This is already a tough week because I'm trying out for the top wrestling promotion in the world, but I also don't know anyone, and now I'm gonna just be mad the whole time. Okay, let's go. And then all of a sudden, like, I just see from the corner of my eye this big Brock Sampson looking mother guy, you know what I'm saying, looking like from Venture Brothers, you know, Sid Vicious. I go, dude. He goes, dude. Motherfucker! Then we gave each other a big hug. 629 crew, you know what I'm saying? That's our clan name. That's our hotel name. You know what I'm saying? 629 crew. Woo-woo. But anyways, yeah. Other than that, like it was lit. Josh is my dog. The tryout was great. The athletes there were freaking good. They had a lot of good athletes that are still signed right now, as far as I know. I mean, even who was at my tryout? Roxanne was at my tryout. I forget her name, but she was in Chase U. She was at my tryout.
Dia Hill?
Yeah. She was at my tryout. A lot of people were at my tryout that got signed. And, like, good on them. I'm happy for them. Like, that's something that, like, was a change. Like, honestly, bro, like, a life-changing experience because you never really know what they want until you're there and you see, okay, this is what they may be looking for. And, like, I've heard stuff changes all the time up there. I don't know. I'm not up there. But, like, they could want this now and then want something different later. That's how people are when they want the flavors of ice cream. Like, even in wrestling fans. Wrestling fans want this. This is a cool spot right now. And then, like, a month later, they're like, oh, I'm not really into this spot anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this spot's better. Like, I don't know. It's just flavors of ice cream at the end of the day. So, like, it was just great to be down there and be like, all right, this is what I could do to possibly get here one day. Because I would love to be there. It's WWE. Everyone wants to be there. People that say they don't want to be there are liars. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing right now everything in my possible power to make sure one day I will be there. Because, like, I love the indies, but, like, I've always wanted to be signed. And, everyone gets in here to be signed and be a contract. But, like, I feel like I'm ready for TV wrestling or could potentially be ready for TV wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for what it's worth, it's been a while since we interviewed Josh, but I remembered him. The reason I asked you if you'd do that tryout together, because I remembered him mentioning a lot of what you just mentioned about, like, he didn't know a lot of people there. He saw you there, and it was like, thank God. Like, I know Alec. Like, this is my homie. Like, this is so much better that I know him, and we're both on the same page, and we're both doing this together. So, I know that love is reciprocated both ways between you guys, which is very cool because y'all are two of my favorites and have been for a long time. So it's cool to know that you guys are, you know, both have a lot of the same goals and, you know, kind of working, you know, to get those. So, you know,
My dog. And honestly, like, we went from, like, not really cool, but like we were cool, but we didn't know each other, to like, we were brothers after that trip. And then, like, that's when I started getting booked for AIW, too. Not, like I started, like, getting around there because I had a match with Ethan Page at Blitzkrieg. And then, like, John Thorne Cena was like, all right, brother, come here. John Thorne brought me in. Like, I got to wrestle, and now I've been there for the past, like, 2-3 years. You know what I mean? It's been a great time. And, like, Josh is the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he takes this shit serious. He's a little intense. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when he's talking, he's like right here. But he's also a big dude. But, you know, that's my dog. Shoot it all the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Currently recovering from injury. Is signed to West Side Gun, which was very exciting to see that he's...
Fourth row, baby. Good for him.
Yeah.
Sorry, hey, he's got a fucking shirt with his face on it with scorpions.
Dude, he was telling us that when the last time he went to Raw, which would have been with, like, the whole AIW crew when they were in town... Josh was telling us that he bought one of those like knockoff shirts that they sell outside of the arena, like the fake WWF shirt.
WWE, yeah.
He said he wore that and he got invited backstage and he was like walking around and all these people were seeing him with this fake shirt while he was like, you know, trying to get a job basically. I just thought it was one of the funniest stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Josh. You know what I'm saying? He didn't know he was going to get asked to go backstage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he just was like, hey, this dope. It looks like it's Steve Austin. You know what I'm saying? I would have done the same thing. Like, who knows they're going backstage? And like we bought a ticket. We were at the box. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I just thought that was funny. Sorry, guys.
No. We wish Josh the best in his recovery.
Doing the Earl Hefner.
Yeah, I don't know who he bought it from to sell it to him, but yes, Josh is the best. He's been on the show multiple times. He's great. Anybody out there on the independent scene, or we can name WWE names as well, who you're like, that's a guy I want to get in the ring
with. Sydney Akeem.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we would have a banger. Who else? LeBlanc, LiAngelo LeBlanc, Angelo LeBlanc, you know what I'm saying? Coming from all the way from Paris. He's really good. He like reminds me of like Jordo a lot, like the way he wrestles, but like he also like the way he pushes the boundaries with his wrestling and the shit that he wants to do to make spots bigger. So like I think that would be a banger. I want to get Teriyaki in a singles because I think that would be nasty. Who else? There's a lot of people. Eli Knight would be good. A-Game, he's a kid up here from New England. He's really good. I would want to get A-Game. A-Game is dope as shit. Other than that, I'll wrestle anyone. Bring it on. Especially when I win that JCW strap this weekend. It's like, come on, dude. Bring on all the warfare. You know what I'm saying? I'll have a tag match and a singles match in the same show and be that good. Come on, dog. Let's go.
I was actually about to ask you about someone you just mentioned, so this is a good segue. You mentioned Jordo just now. Obviously, Jordan Oliver recovering from injury right now. He won the J Cup a couple years back, won the new championship belt along with that J Cup tournament win. Can you give us some more of your thoughts just on Jordan Oliver? Because I know he's a guy that I know you respect from like previous interviews that you've done, and pretty much everyone we've ever interviewed at some point or another has brought up Jordan Oliver as like someone that they, you know, either get along with backstage or it's helped them get better or given them advice, that kind of stuff. What are kind of your thoughts on Jordan as he's recovering as well?
I mean, Jordan's the man. He's on me and him are honestly two of the best wrestlers in the world. And we're brothers, but we know we're competition too. Like we never do anything to hurt anyone or to hurt each other's careers. We just know that we're going to bring it and that we're going to have to push ourselves even more because we're the other person's ready to push. You know what I'm saying? He's great for spots. Anytime like I need ideas, I come to him. Anytime he's like, hey, Busto, how do you think about this? Like, we're like, Jordo's the man and he's open to everyone and he's a nice kid. He's never a dickhead to anyone. Even when he's like upset about something, he never pushes it out on anyone or takes it out on anyone. It sucked that Jordan like got hurt. I understand that like he was actually like fighting the injury for a while before like he ended up couldn't do it anymore. He was hurt for years after that point. I think he just kind of kept pushing and working out and like kind of forcing himself to do the matches he was doing even though his knee was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that he got like he's recovering now and he's actually, I think he's like coming back soon, which is a good fucking thing. So like when he comes back, people are going to have a problem because Jordo looks ready and he looks hungry. Cause this, I feel like this was what he needed to kind of push him to the next level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was on another level, but that's just like another level after this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you mean because like, you know, he had hit another level before the injury as far as like how much he'd been working out, the size he had put on. He just obviously keeps getting better with more experience.
The match rate and shit. Yep.
Yes. And now it's going to be one of those things where when he returns, the people are going to be really, really anticipating like the return to see what he looks like when he comes back. And as we all know, he'll knock it out of the park. And then he's going to be another guy who's immediately, in my opinion, right up there, you know, probably challenging for the GCW world title when he comes back, you know, at some point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so,
I mean, Jordo's ready to be like Jordo. I feel like Jordan didn't get to, I feel like, you know, Jordo had Young, Dumb, and Broke. And then after Young, Dumb, and Broke, he was with East West Express. I feel like Jordo's never really had the opportunity to just be Jordan Oliver and like have the Jordan Oliver show and go out there and fucking worry about him. And I'm not saying that's a knock on anyone. Nick Wayne is amazing. You know what I'm saying? I love Nick Wayne, Lil Stane. You know what I'm saying? I love, you know, Young, Dumb, and Broke. But Jordo has the opportunity right now to come back strong and fight and worry about Jordan Oliver. And I feel like this is going to be the opportunity for him to just blow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's already was another level. This is going to be different. This is going to be all, like, he's going to be freaking crazy now. Because, like, it's Jordan. He has the opportunity to be world champion. He has the opportunity to be on TV. It's really just, it's about coming back from this injury with a head of steam. You know what I'm saying?
As we wind down here, Alex, one thing we like to ask everybody, and you've already showed us some prestigious championships, but anything else, the coolest thing in your room?
Have I done the Megazords before? I do got Megazords, and I got LJNs.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see some Power Rangers, because you know that I love me some Power Rangers as well.
I'm not going the other one, grab it, but...
Oh, did you ever watch Muscle Ranger, by the way? I sent you the link after our interview like a year ago.
What was it?
Wrestle Ranger. I was telling you about a guy like a year ago who dresses up like the Green and White Ranger. Did you wind up watching it?
Yes.
Your thoughts?
It was pretty lit. I'm not going to lie.
I was a little jelly. I was a little jealous. I wanted to do that gimmick. It's like when you see the people fucking being the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in the day.
Yes.
Like the ones with their Japan and they're doing fucking lucha drags and shit like that.
Yes, exactly like that. I love that.
Dude, I got a fucking... I'll show you. I got everything. I'll show you a couple cool things.
Hell yeah. I'd love to see it. And by the way, I didn't mean to no-sell the white Zord you just showed us.
The Falcon. If I didn't sell it? No, I got it before the prices went crazy.
I'm saying I didn't react to it because we were talking about something else, but I saw it. I appreciate that.
No, you're good. It's, you know what I'm saying?
There we go. Does it shoot little missiles off of its wings?
You gotta understand, like, this shit. I didn't put it together, but I got the Zords in the package. One second, let me change. How do I flip this camera? Do 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 do. I don't know. Camera. Oh, let's turn the camera off. Anyways, I'll just flip the camera. Oh,
wait, is that I might have that actually. That's the movie one. I have the original one. Yeah.
Let's go. I got the Shogun Zord and shit.
This one here, I got you.
It was like season 3 Mighty Morphin, right?
I don't know if he heard you. He took his headphones out, so he might not have heard that.
Season 3 Mighty Morphin, right?
Season 1.
Season 1,
but this was off of the this is like Lightning Collection or whatever. Like, this is like a, you know, like a newer release.
I got this. I got the Lightning too.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I got the Lightning.
Dude, I thoroughly enjoyed putting this together also, because it actually was kind of challenging. I was like, couldn't remember how to put put them all together, you know, and I was like, I felt like I was a little kid again, like having to figure out how it all, you know, matched. So,
dude, and like the thing about it is it's harder with the Lightning because they have extra, like, they have extra shit for bending and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have extra, like, joints for flexibility and movement and like make it more. And I kind of like the Lightning just because I'm low. Oh, I'm sorry. I dropped my light, but I'm loading up a shit ton of toys right now. You got to understand, brother. I'm a big fan. I got like the original.
Ooh.
Oh,
I'm just missing the battle axe. And then I got the complete cannon, but I got the original, that one. And then I got a bunch of LJNs with the ring.
There you go.
I got more, but yeah, no, like I like I also like that they look like robots. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit looks like a freaking Tyrannosaurus if I pop the, like, it still looks like a freaking robotic Tyrannosaurus. I don't know, I fuck with it. Why is this a problem? You know what I mean? Like, I heard people didn't like it because the way it looked, but I'm like, why? It's a fucking robot at the end of the day. Like, I don't want it to look like a toy. I feel like after a while, like, I was getting grown up anyways, but after a while, I feel like the Megazords were starting to look more and more toyish. Mm-hmm. Where back in the day, you knew it was a dude in the costume instead of them just like, all right, we're going to roll this toy down the mark and then we're going to add some CGI. And it's like, no, motherfucker, look at this shit. This guy looks like an actual robot. He kind of looks like Godzilla a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. They did the same thing to the Ninja Turtles as well. Like back in the day, it was dudes in suits in the movies and stuff, and it was awesome. And then they like tried to like mix in the CGI and modernize it. And some of the Ninja Turtle stuff is still pretty good. I'm not gonna hate on it completely, but there is like a charm to like the old way that we had it.
It's because there's texture. So like that's why Jim Henson, like when you had like the Dark Crystal or Labyrinth back in the day. Like the reasons why the puppets were like, oh shit, this is crazy, and people reacted to it is because there was still texture where you could actually like interact and feel like, oh, that's real. But when we're desensitized to CGI, which we are, because there's a million and one things happening all the fucking time in CGI, you can look at it and just be like, oh, this is fake. You know what I'm saying? Like that's like the gift about wrestling is like some people think they know, but they really don't know. So we gotta make sure that they, you know what I'm saying? Like my trainer used to say, people know what they think they know about wrestling, but we can't remind them that they know. You know what I'm saying? And he's not wrong. We can't we're expending the freaking, what has been captivating the audiences, suspending the belief. And like, I feel like back in the day when they had the costumes and shit, people think, oh, that's tacky. It's like, no, that was exactly what you should be doing. I actually believe that story. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I was watching the Geflings go across the Dark Crystal, wherever they were at. I forget where they're at, whatever the name of it was. And they were going after the Skepsis. I believed he was fighting for the Mystics. I believed he was going against the Skepsis. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was real to me. I was scared as fuck as those. I was scared of those raptor birds. You know what I'm saying? Skepsis were crazy looking.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Real to me, damn it.
That, look, we have to end on the it's still real for the Power Rangers.
We can have a whole second podcast about me and Al. Like, I have a whole section of my office in here that's just Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers stuff. I got a creepy crawler oven from back in the day that still works over here with all the Power Rangers. Oh, yeah, dude. And I've got the Power Rangers molds for it, too. I saw some in the box that we could whip out and make some creepy crawler Power Rangers together next time I see you, Alex. We're going to have a good time.
That's lit. Yeah, I'm down. Let's go.
Me, you, and Cole are going to have a good time. Jeremy's not invited because he's going to get beat up by Cole.
Thanks a lot.
It's because you're going to get beat up by Cole. You got to squash this beef with Cole or else we can't all hang out together, man.
Yeah.
One day.
You know what I'm saying? You got to squash the beef. Yeah. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Yeah. Alec, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. Let everybody know what you got coming up, including the Jersey J Cup this weekend, February 15th and 16th on Trailer Plus, and where they can follow you at.
Okay, so Jersey J Cup this weekend. I got Limitless next weekend. I got North Wrestling, me and Cole, the first time we're going out of the state. We're defending the GCW Tag Team Champions up north, I believe. Even if we ain't, I believe we're defending them in Canada against the Bang Bros. Has already been released. Gang Bros, Bang Bros, what the hell's going on? Anyways, I got Everywhere. Everywhere is coming up. The month of February is going to be lit. Month of fucking March is going to be lit. April is going to be lit. I'm there for WrestleMania weekend. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at PrizeCityOG. Snapchat's only for the woes. I don't really do Facebook. And, thank y'all for having me. Make sure you follow Fightful. Make sure you go up and go out of their way to get all the freaking shows you got on there. Follow their Twitter. Follow my dog Jeremy. Follow my dog Steven. Don't play games. Be a real G, not no fleeing. All right. Thank y'all.
Hey, we appreciate you, man.
We appreciate it, man. We'll be right back here on the Spotlight.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.